Yeah, still evaluating right now. So I understand where you're coming from on that, and still evaluating, and we'll take it one day at a time right now.
How much, given some of the players' comments this week that they were waiting until Wednesday to hear from the quarterback, how much does that weigh into your decision on when to make this decision about the quarterback?
Are you saying how much does...
Players seem to be caught off guard that it happened on a Wednesday morning instead of earlier in the week, this past week. So how much does that weigh into when you make the decision on a starter this week?
Right. Well, you know, last week it happened really on a Tuesday, and when I gave the quarterback's notice. And so I do think about our team and everything I do. This decision, Mike, other decisions, I think heavily about our team and every decision we make.
What the perception of as poorly Nathan Peterman played poorly is to continue on with a player who had 5 interceptions through the first half. What message might that send to the team? Do you wonder?
Well, let me start off here with Nathan. You know, one game is not going to define Nathan or Nathan's career. Young players go through it, and you saw some of it yesterday. And I put that back on myself. I own the decision, and I still, as I said yesterday, I don't regret the decision. I regret the result. And there's other hands also in the result. So it's never about one player. And I'm confident in Nathan and his mental toughness. And we move forward, we learn, we grow from it, and we get better.
Sean, to that point, because we don't see practice, we don't see him in the meetings, what specifically did you see from him that he was able to grow enough in that 2.5 months to where you felt comfortable enough with starting him in that spot at 5-4 and in a playoff spot at that point?
Right, that's a fair question, Joe. I've evaluated, like we do all players, Nathan from the time he walked in the door and really before that, and you watch how he handles himself intangibly. Because that's a big part of it. That's a big part of the quarterback position are the intangibles of all positions, let alone the quarterback position. You watched how he developed skill-wise, how he studied, how he prepared himself for the opponent, how he became familiar with more and more of NFL schemes, and how he performed in practice and then the preseason games and then the short sample of the game the other week there. So that was all part of his process as we continue to evaluate Nathan. And so, I remain confident in Nathan. And there were some plays yesterday I know he wants back. There was also some plays where when you look at it, you say, that was pretty darn good, you know. Hard to see on the surface, 10,000-foot view, hard to see that with the result being what it was. When you take it one play at a time and you really look at it and say, hey, we're moving the ball. And, sometimes you got to throw and got to catch. And so... but again, I own the decision, and that's all me.
Some people, the critics out there, will say that the decision for you to start Peterman backfired. Did it backfire?
Well, sometimes you make decisions in leadership roles like this that work out, and sometimes they don't work out. And I think the biggest thing is you try and make every decision with the right agenda, with the right decision-making process in mind. And that leads you to the decision that you feel is right. And that's what I felt like in this case. And I stand by that decision. Obviously, it didn't work out. And so you go back, you learn from it. I learned from it as a head coach, and I expect us all to learn from it. We grow and we move forward as we continue to build.
John, can you continue to sell the idea that you're trying to win now and plan for the future when you're not even sure which quarterback is going to play?
Well, we're building, and building a part of it. You go through, this is part of the growth process, Bucky, with, you go through these pains. It burns. It burns hard, you don't want that result that we had yesterday. And I've been on the other side of it, too. And so every decision we make is with the thought of winning now, yes, but also winning in the future. And so that's part of the vision for this organization.
I'm not even looking at it like in an emotional whether it hurts way. I'm the way I'm seeing it is that if you come back with Tyrod, then that's a sign to me that you're trying to win now. And you're, you, he would give you a better chance to win now. He's more experienced. He's had more games and more success. If you're going with Nathan, then you're looking more toward the future. Mm-hmm. Like, it's pretty clear to me. Am I wrong on that?
That's your evaluation. You know, I have to see it through my lenses.
Yeah, and that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. No, I mean, both quarterbacks have their own abilities and own skill set, and so I'm always going to look at both. You know, how best do we equip our team to win now, and also set ourselves up to build for a strong future, and that's part of that process, as I said earlier.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's right.
You said there were some plays of Peterman's that were pretty darn good, that were wild plays, well, maybe not wild plays, but ones that you can build on. Can you point out some of those to us as to what makes you feel optimistic about him going forward?
Well, you just go back and look at the first drive. I think we started off with two runs, and then we came out and threw a play-action pass over the middle. And I believe it was Kelvin's play, in fact. And, you know, he hit Kelvin right in stride. And it was tight coverage. He threw it into a tight window. And this is a league of contested throws, contested balls, and you've got to be able to do that. And he did it. And now there was a couple other instances also, but just to name one, we got into a rhythm early on the offensive side, and so I was pleased with that drive up until the point where we had the interception, and then you know things went downhill. But we came back the next drive, and the running game got on track there the next drive, and we scored the touchdown. So. There were positives in there, and you know, so there was growth. There was growth for our football team, and I know on the surface the result wasn't there, but when you look at these guys played physical in all three phases. They played hard in all three phases, and as we grow, as we develop, as we build, we're developing a standard, too, of how we do things. We're developing a culture of how we do things and what it needs to look like, and I get it. Sometimes we're not going to get the result we want. Sometimes there's a lag effect, and I've talked about that before, as you build and grow and develop things, and that's painful, you know, and that's the way it's been the last couple of weeks. I know that. I get it, and I shoulder that responsibility.
Sean, will you meet with your leadership council regarding the quarterback decision?
You say, will I?
Will you meet with them, yes?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm first going to evaluate on my own and then evaluate with our coaches, and then there's a progression. And I always try and communicate with the leaders of this football team. So,
on the heels of what Jay just asked, yesterday after the game, Tyrod said that leadership council meets with you. You know, they talk about these things and said these are the things that we'll talk about, meaning, you know, if he'll go back in, obviously Tyrod, his position is impacted. But how much do you weigh what they say in that meeting to you? About this decision or about really any big decision that you make personnel-wise?
Right, that's a good question, Sal. I put a lot of stock into that. You know, they carry a lot of weight. Obviously, I have the final say, and they respect that. They've done a phenomenal job with that to this point. They're the guys. They're on that council for a reason. They're my sounding board on some things. So, you know, I give them a lot of ownership into this team, and they've done a phenomenal job with that to this point.
John, Kelvin and Micah?
Yeah, real quick on Kelvin. You know, the good news is there's no ligament damage. And so, you know, we're still under evaluation on the rest of it at this point. And then Micah checked out fine. He should be fine.
Sean, what feedback did you get from ownership before you announced the quarterback move last week? And maybe what feedback did you get since, you know, the game yesterday?
Well, from day one, Kim and Terry have given us everything we've asked for. They've supported us to the nth degree, and in this case, no different. You know, I made the decision, certainly communicated with Brandon on it, like we do every move, and then briefed Kim and Terry on it. So they've supported us from day one on all of our decisions, and they do a tremendous job of giving us the resources to win.
What do you think it does to your credibility in the room, you know, when you put a guy in there in the middle of the playoff hunt and you think he's ready and then he plays the way he did? What do you think that does to your credibility with the guys?
Well, you know, at this point in the season, I've hoped with them that I've built up enough credibility, trust, And then there's also a human element of it that, hey, I'm trying to do what's right, and not every decision, man, is going to work out exactly like I wanted it to. And that's, you take responsibility. That's what you do. And, you know, you hope by doing that that, you know, over time you're going to make more right decisions than you make that aren't so right. And, you know, but I'm going to learn from it at the same time and get better. And just like I expect them, you know, they're not always going to play one play that's exactly right, but they're going to learn from it, grow, and get better. That's also part of the growth process. That's also part of building and growing and becoming better.
Along those lines, you mentioned, you know, it was a calculated risk, and you kind of, you know, were willing to step out on that ledge. How do you, the next time you're going to make a decision like that, does it enter the back of your mind? Like, how do you trust yourself, I guess, to continue to, you know, not let your thought process be affected by the result.
That's a fair question. Stay decisive, stay confident, and be decisive. You know, as a decision maker, when you waver is when you get yourself in trouble. And so you've got to stay, obviously, listening to people, listening to opinions of people I trust, communicating with people, and then also when a decision needs to be made, be decisive and go with it.
Are you still, Sean, you guys have talked about since day one building something that you can sustain. Is that still first and foremost what you're trying to accomplish? You're in a playoff hunt with a lot of other teams, and yet there's also something beyond the season.
Right. No, you're right. I mean, this is, you know, there's certain things that we want to do, and yes, we want to win, and that's big, and there's also certain things you want to establish, you know, where you're saying, hey, as we move forward, I know we've established a standard. I know we've established a culture. Those are big. And then also that we've established a competitiveness about who we are, about how we approach each day as we move forward. And so that's big as we continue to grow through this and learn from it and become stronger to develop that strong foundation, Bucket, that you mentioned.
When you look at Nate's game, how much do you factor in not having Kelvin for most of that game? And how do you factor in potentially not having Kelvin up with his next game against the Chiefs?
That was unfortunate. You know, anytime you lose a player at all, let alone a player like Kelvin, was really excited to see him in the offense, to see him work with our quarterbacks. And you know, he was off, obviously, to a good start in the game. So that was unfortunate. Again, like I said after the game, Mike, it's never about one player. We're a team. We play as a team. And the next guy's got to step in and step up and do the job.
Specific to Nate, though, is that something where he might get more of a break because he didn't have his top receiver for much of that first half?
I evaluate the big picture. You know, I mean, who's in there with him and so who's not in there. I mean, you do. That's part of it. Again, it's not about one player, though.
Was it as bad as it looked when you looked at when you reviewed the game, after the game, you know, since the game? Was it as bad as it looked?
Well, you know, anytime we don't take care of the ball, you know, on the surface, that, you know, it was what it was. That said, like I said, there was some really good plays in there, baked into that. And then, you know, it's never about, again, just one guy. We've got 11 guys on the field that got a block, they got a throw, they got a catch. And so, you know, there's a lot of parts to the overall play and the execution of a play. And so, and that goes back to me. I've got to do a better job there.
Sean, how much does Rick Dennison factor into the decision on which quarterback to start?
He's obviously, it's my final call on that, but you know, I communicate with those guys, and part of communication is listening, and I've got a lot of trust and faith in my staff.
Did you communicate with him before the initial decision to start, Nathan?
The initial decision was mine.
Coach, I know you said you felt your players played physical. Mm-hmm. You've talked a lot the last 3 weeks about teaching fundamentals, preaching the fundamentals, harping on them. You know, I know Tyron didn't have the benefit of watching the game film like you did today, but he said yesterday the team's got to get back to a physical mindset. That's not something you can really teach, though. You've got to, as a player, have the desire, the attitude to play physically, and I'm kind of referencing the line of scrimmage specifically here.
And I thought they did yesterday. I really did. And you know, we wanted to go out and have the right mindset. I thought we had the right mindset. You know, I thought the guys came out and attacked early, you know. Thought we played physically in particular in the run game. And I know we had a run or two pop on us defensively, which was more about gap integrity, was more about technique than it was our physical mindset at the line of scrimmage. And I thought we came out and run the ball and ran the ball well early in the game in particular, before the game in particular got away from us. So I saw a physical approach and a physicality of our football team really in all three phases. And that, to me, is part of not the result that we saw on the scoreboard, but that's part of the growth that I saw yesterday from our football team.
I know it was a little bit of a shift in terms of the play calling with Rick upstairs. Did everything go pretty smoothly as far as that goes?
For the most part.
Right,
yeah. You know, for the most part, we had a situation with the headset earlier there. We had to burn a timeout, which I don't like doing. So I like to save those, as you know. You know, that said, for the most part, Rick's used to being upstairs. You know, we had some staff issues earlier with some guys had some injuries that couldn't be on the sidelines, so we had to switch some things around. Now we're back to really, you know, the way we wanted to start from day one.
Coach, why was Keenan Allen getting so loose yesterday in the secondary? Obviously, you guys, he had put up some big numbers in the first half. What was going on there, do you think?
Well, a good receiver, but that's not all of it. And we can play with better technique and you know, just look at, are we putting the players in position? And so, just again, a lot of parts go into that, and just formation recognition, knowing where a player like Keenan is, and making sure we're trying to get hands on him and get the matchups we want. And so, you know, they've got a talented group of receivers, and so it's never about one guy. And you watch him, and then you put two guys on him, and then somebody else pops open on the other side, you know, Gates or whomever it might be. So, you know, they've got some weapons on that offense, and a good quarterback, and he was throwing the ball into some tight windows at times.
There was one play where you made the switch to Tyrod before halftime, though?
No.
Was there any lesson you wanted Tyrod to learn by being benched, and you think you're stupid?
No hidden lesson that he and I already haven't talked about. Just really, you know, for us, it's about becoming better, becoming stronger, and there was no hidden message or hidden lesson. It's, you know, I believe in communication with my players and being direct.
There was one play that got a lot of attention among fans where it looked like Shaq Lawson was trailing in coverage. I think it might have been Keenan or Tyrod Williams, one of those. What happened on that play, and why was he put in a position where you had to chase a receiver?
Well, it was zone pressure. You know, it's a very common, to those around the game, very common scheme approach. And we got out of position on the other side of the defense a little bit, and it looked like he was, you know, the only man that was supposed to be running with the intended receiver right there. That was not the design, and so we have to, you know, make sure we execute better. And that goes back to technique, execution, and time on task. You know, and I've been around this before. You go through and time on task. Okay, we've got some young players and we have to, and new players to this system. We have to develop time on task so that when they default in the heat of the moment, they default into the fundamentals that we need them to default into. And so that just takes repetition, proper repetition, over and over and over again.
Quarterback decision or no quarterback decision, how do you go about compensating for what the defense is not doing, and that's not turning the ball over? Mm-hmm. You haven't been, so far over the past 3 games, you haven't been able to find a solution. How do you compensate for that?
Well, sometimes those come in bunches, as I said, when we were getting them. You know, and so, you know, we try and get back to creating turnovers, emphasizing it, drilling it, working on it. If you don't emphasize it and you don't drill it, don't expect to get it. And then you got to give the offense credit too, you know. So they take care of the ball and they get, you know, they're doing their job also. So there's some give and take to that. So we have to continue to emphasize it, drill it, and I'm confident we'll come up with some more in the future.
But if you can't create turnovers, how do you get over that hump? Because you've proven so far that you can't win without turnovers.
Well, you know, when you look at stats around the league, when you create turnovers, typically that correlates to winning. And I don't think we're rare as a team that way, in terms of you get turnovers, you come out positive on the turnover margin, you get a better chance to win. So I think generally speaking around the league, that's true of most teams.
John, you mentioned that, you know, as a decision maker, when you waver is when you get yourself in trouble. How do you convince the team that you're not wavering when, you know, when they go home tonight, they don't know who the quarterback is?
Well, I think they know me well enough to know that I don't make any decision. You know, no decision is a snap decision. It's, I'm going to think it through and evaluate. That's, you know, going to put ourselves in the best position for us as a football team. So Like I said before, you know, I'm confident in those guys, and they know how I do things, and you know, we're going to try and put our best foot forward.
With what you just said being
the... Just give me... This gentleman back here keeps trying to ask a question.
Before you make a decision on who's going to start as quarterback, how important is the evaluation of the offensive line going to be? Because I saw, like, you know, Tyrod is unbelievable when he has pressure to get out of the pocket, but, you know, you're saying that with Peterman, he's more of a pocket passer, and that's more fit for this offense, but obviously the offensive line didn't give him a lot of time, so how much does that come into a factor about who you look to start this week?
Well, it does. It comes into consideration for sure, just like when you put a puzzle together, all the pieces, you know, you can't just look at them separately, you know, they all come together to form one big puzzle, so that does, you know, impact the decision. You know, you go back and you look at, you know, Derek Carr comes into the league years ago at a high pick, and you know, we all know what his career after that first year looked like, so, you know, that's, I've been around that, I've learned from that just by watching that from afar, and so that's a part of it also. You know, like I said, it's one big puzzle that we got to put together.
Sean, what you just said about no decision being a snap decision, I mean, with a decision as important as who is going to start at quarterback in a game, how long have you been contemplating whether or not to start Nathan Peterman over Tyrod Taylor?
Well, you always look at everything, you know, just like every position. You know, say, hey, here's the starter. How's the starter performing? How good is the backup? Is he ready? And so whether it's quarterback, fullback, wide receiver, that's what we do every day, in particular the days following a game, Joe, to evaluate our roster and who is earning the right to play, start, be a backup, be on the roster. That's all part of the process.
When did that thought with Nathan specifically start to surface in your mind?
Oh, again, like I said, you know, you asked me on that Monday following the game last week who was the starter. And at that point, you know, Tyrod was the starter. I hadn't gotten to that in my mind. And when I did, you know, I was decisive and made the decision to go with it.
Sean, there are some out there, including a few, you know, some fans that think yesterday was one of the low points of the playoff drought. I know you've only been here, you know, 10 games, but how does that sit with you, you know, having fans having to deal with what's gone on in the last 3 weeks?
Well, I wasn't here for 17 years. I got here 10 months ago, and that's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on going forward and what we're building, and we're building something bigger, and sometimes that takes going through some stuff, and I get it, and I own that. I'm also here to lead this organization through it, though, too. That's why I came here, and that's why I moved my family here and the other families. And I'm confident that we'll get through it.